ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Puranjana, Text Number 6. Griheshu Kuta Dharmeshu, Griheshu Kuta Dharmeshu, Putradara Dhanarthadhi, Putradara Dhanarthadhi, Naparam vindate mudho, Naparam vindate mudho, Bhramyan sansara vartmasu, Bhramyan sansara vartmasu, Griheshu kuta dharmeshu, Putradara dhanarthadhi, Naparam vindate mudho, Bhramyan sansara vartmasu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Those who are interested only in a so-called beautiful life, namely remaining as a householder, entangled by sons and wife and searching after wealth, think that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding out the ultimate goal of life. Purport. Those who are too much attached to family life, which consists of entanglement with wife, children, wealth and home, are engaged in kuta dharma, pseudo duties. Prahlad Maharaja has likened these pseudo-occupational duties to a dark well, andhakupam. Prahlad has purposefully spoken of this dark well because if one falls into this well, he will die. He may cry for help, but no one will hear him or come to rescue him. The words Brahmyan Sansara Vartmasu are significant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 19.151, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly explains, Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jeeva. All living entities are wandering in different types of bodies throughout different planets. And if in the course of their wanderings they come in contact with a devotee by the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their lives become successful. Even though King Prachina Barhishat was engaged in fruitive activity, the great sage Narada appeared before him. The king was very fortunate to be able to associate with Narada, who enlightened him in spiritual knowledge. It is the duty of all saintly persons to follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and travel all over the world, to every country and village, just to instruct illusioned persons about the goal of life and to save them from the entanglement of karma bandha, fruitive activity. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Those who are interested only in so-called beautiful life, namely remaining as a householder entangled by sons and a wife and searching after wealth, think that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding out the ultimate goal of life. So we have to be very grateful to the devotees of Krishna who have kindly come in our life and enlightened us about the knowledge of the ultimate goal of life, which is developing pure love for Krishna. We can see in each of our individual lives, it is only by the mercy of the devotees that we have adopted this Sanatana Dharma. And that gratitude, it should remain eternally. We should carry it forward, and the more we develop our Krishna consciousness, the more we feel that gratitude to the devotees who have brought us to Krishna consciousness, who also have been maintaining us in Krishna consciousness by their kindness, by their association. Krishna, in the form of spiritual master, both initiating and instructing, is guiding the conditioned soul from without. And this is very merciful act on the part of the Lord. So this gratitude should increase, and there is no time in eternity that we'll be able to repay our debt to the spiritual master. I heard that once Srila Prabhupada was asked by a disciple, "Srila Prabhupada, how can we repay you for what you have done for us?" Srila Prabhupada replied, "Remain indebted." And this is true. This is truth. Yeah, we should remain indebted. There's no point of time that we will be able to repay the debt to our spiritual master and to the Vaishnavas. Srila Prahlada Maharaja spoke a verse, "Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe kamabhikamam anuyav prapatan prasangat kritvatma sat surarshina bhagavan grihita soham katham visrijeta vabhritya sevam." So Prahlada Maharaj said that I've fallen into this material existence following the people who are after sense gratification, kamabhikamam, following materialistic people. I have also fallen into this material life. Prabhavahi kupe. We heard about Andhakupa, the blind well, which is it's a dangerous place, because blind well may be somewhat covered, by grass, and you may not see. Then by accident you may fall into it, and then there won't be anybody around to help you. But then Prahlada Maharaj says in this verse, "Prabhava ahikupe." This is ahikupe. It's not just a well, but a well infested with snakes. So ahi, snake, ahikupa. Very dangerous place. Not only you break your bones by falling into, but even if you remain alive, then there are snakes to bite you. So in this way, Prahlada Maharaj said, "I've fallen into that ocean of material existence." But then, kritvatmasat surarshina bhagavan grihita, I've been accepted. Grihita also, Prahlada Maharaj implies, I've been accepted in a way that a person grabs another person by his hair, like this. Narada Muni has come and practically dragged me by my hair. That's what he wants to say. Grihita. Kritva Atmasat. Narada Muni accepted me as his own. And he implies, he wants to say that Narada Muni accepting Prahlada Maharaj, he thought, this is my jiva. A possessiveness of a pure devotee towards his compassion, his love, his affection for those whom he is saving. This is my soul. I'll keep this soul under my protection. So this is what Prahlada Maharaj is saying. And then, soham katham nu visrujeta vibhritya sevam. So in this way, me, who am in such a situation, being saved, how can I give up the service of your devotee, my Lord? That's the conclusion. I can never give up. So this gratitude should grow, and this gratitude will enable us to feel mercy. And when we feel mercy, we feel love. And this is what Krishna consciousness is all about, to experience love and affection of Krishna to us. Yeah. That starts with gratitude. So we should be always grateful and remember that we are all mercy cases in spiritual life. Guru Deva Tatma, Guru, one's Guru should be accepted as one's worshipable deity and as one's Atma. One's Atma means one's life and soul, because spiritual master is giving us life. Yeah. It is very often stated that how difficult it is to repay one's debt to one's biological parents. Yeah. Smriti Shastras, they instruct how throughout life one should be grateful to one's mother and father for giving this, the gift of this body, of this life. So if that gratitude has to be cultivated so strongly, and indeed in Vedic culture it is very, a very strong pillar of Vedic culture, yeah, remaining grateful to one's parents. So then how much more one should be grateful to one's spiritual master, who is one's actual father, one's spiritual father. And that is what life is all about. It's about reconnecting with the Lord. So this is the point, the mercy of Vaishnavas and Guru. And here Prachina Barhishat, who is karmi in a real meaning of a word, which means engaged in Vedic Karmakandiya rituals, just to remind that the meaning of his name is one who sits on a barhi grass that is pointed towards east, which means that he was engaged uninterruptedly in various fruitive sacrifices, so that he even became named sitting on the barhi grass. That is asanas, they're supposed to be directed towards the east, the tips of that grass. So much he was engaged in those activities, Prachina Barhishat. And then despite his materialistic attitude, Narada Muni comes and blesses him with his association and instructions, and delivers him ultimately. So these passages in the Bhagavatam that describe the uselessness of materialistic life, they come very often throughout the Bhagavatam, because we have to hear about it again and again in order to be properly focused, in order to have our consciousness properly fixed and directed towards the real aim of life. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. Lord Chaitanya spread his devotional service equipped with Vairagya Vidya, with knowledge and renunciation. So devotional service has to be performed in that renounced spirit. Don't harbor those illusions about this material existence. Material existence will always remain harsh, and it will always kick us on our face, like she ass kicks he ass when he comes after her. If you ever seen how it happens in real life, you're really in awe. Very, very heavy kicks he gets, the he ass. So this is the situation. And jiva, spirit soul who tries to enjoy matter, indeed in Vedic scriptures often likened to an animal, to a goat, for example. Yeah, aja. So these passages are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because without being properly detached from matter, we can't takes our consciousness and spirit. Even though we say that, yes, ultimate realization comes by experiencing higher taste, this principle is there. Param drishtva nivartate. Still, the reminders have to be there. The reminders have to be there. Do's and don'ts, the don'ts have to be there, not just the do's. Because of that long-standing habit that we have been cultivating life after life to enjoy matter. That's why there have to be an additional reminder. And Srimad Bhagavatam and other such Vedic literatures that instruct in Sanatana Dharma, they do mercifully enlighten us about the futile nature of material life. So, one of such descriptions which I particularly like in the Bhagavatam is in the prayers of King Muchukunda. He really very pithy, very really he to the point he describes the uselessness of materialistic life. So this is also the point why Srimad Bhagavatam, why in Srimad Bhagavatam there are narrations about the kings. One of the topics of Puranas is to describe vanshas, various vanshas. And definitely Srimad Bhagavatam fulfills that too. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes those great kings. Why? Because from the point of view of an ordinary mortal being, what higher position in this world you can get than a king, who has everything, who has sovereignty over land, over people, emperor, everything is at his command, But still, we read in the Puranas, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, about these kings, how they became frustrated with their life, with their so-called all-powerful rulership, and how they became ultimately renounced and took up the devotional service. So this is to teach us that don't be illusioned. Even if you have everything, what you may imagine in this world, material nature will still give you trouble. And this is the proof. Look at these kings. So we can read a little bit of Muchukunda's prayers. Sri Muchukunda said, "O Lord, the people of this world, both men and women, are bewildered by your illusory energy. Unaware of their real benefit, they do not worship you, but instead seek happiness by entangling themselves in family affairs, which are actually sources of misery. That person has an impure mind who, despite having somehow or other automatically obtained the rare and highly evolved human form of life, does not worship your lotus feet. Like an animal that has fallen into a blind well, such a person has fallen into the darkness of a material home. I have wasted all this time, O unconquerable one, becoming more and more intoxicated by my domain and opulence as an earthly king, misidentifying the mortal body as the self. Becoming attached to children, wives, treasury and land, I suffered endless anxiety." People think they will enjoy, having so many things, having wives, children, treasury, land, But then Muchukunda says, "I've suffered endless anxiety." That is not shown in the TV, Only the smiles are shown. But the rest is not shown. With deep ignorance, I took myself to be the body, which is a material object like a pot or a wall. Thinking myself a god among men, I traveled the earth, surrounded by my charioteers, elephants, cavalry, foot soldiers, and generals, disregarding you in my deluding pride. A man obsessed with thoughts of what he thinks needs to be done, intensely greedy and delighting in sense enjoyment, is suddenly confronted by you, who are ever alert. Like a hungry snake licking its fangs before a mouse, you appear before him as deaf. So all this, all the hard labor that people do, they sweat day and night, and the results that they get are very temporary. All will be taken away by God in form of death. Yeah, and this is the astonishing power of Lord's illusory energy, is that everybody sees others around him dying, still one makes plans for enjoyment. Now this next verse is a heavy one. The body that at first rides high on fierce elephants or chariots, adorned with gold and is known by the name king, is later, by your invincible power of time, called feces, worms, or ashes. So that lump of matter that we call king, or whatever you take, the king or the CM, chief minister, or whatever, that lump of matter that you call by the name, you call it later feces or stool, worms or ashes. These three things describe three various destinies of bodies, depending on the society where the person lives. Hare Krishna. So if the body is neglected, whether accidentally or purposefully, the body is eaten by animals and they pass stool, so that the body transforms into stool. Then if the body is, the same body is called worms, if body is put in a coffin, in Western countries often they do. So then this coffin, it doesn't remain lying there. Worms eventually reach it and eat it up. And ashes, yeah, the body is burned. So what's so significant about it? Yeah. Having conquered the entire cycle of directions and being thus free of conflict, a man sits on a splendid throne. This is also a very heavy one. A man sits on a splendid throne receiving praise from leaders who were once his equals. So he's so great, you know, everybody worships him, everybody praises me. But when he enters the women's chambers where sex pleasure is found, he is led about like a pet animal. Oh Lord. So ultimately we are all servants. Yeah. Even a big man is ultimately a servant, but that service is not glorious. Yeah. Service to one's body, to one's genitals, to one's stomach, and so on. Now, when the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, or achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. My Lord, I think you have shown me mercy since my attachment to my kingdom has spontaneously ceased. Such freedom is prayed for by saintly rulers of vast empires who desire to enter the forest for a life of solitude. O all-powerful one, I desire no boon other than service to your lotus feet, the boon most eagerly sought by those free of material desire. O Hari, what enlightened person who worships you, the giver of liberation, would choose a boon that causes his own bondage? Therefore, O Lord, having put aside all objects of material desire which abound to the modes of passion, ignorance, and goodness, I am approaching you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are not covered by mundane designations. Rather, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, full in pure knowledge and transcendental to the material modes. For so long I have been pained by troubles in this world and have been burning with lamentation. My six enemies are never satiated and I can find no peace. Therefore, O giver of shelter, O Supreme Soul, please protect me. O Lord, in the midst of danger, I have by good fortune approached your lotus feet, which are the truth and which thus make one fearless and free of sorrow. So this is the end of his prayers. Now we can come back few verses back, and please hear this attentively, and you can even raise your hand if you hear something unusual. When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. So did anyone notice anything unusual in this verse? I can read once more. When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. So, anything? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it seems inverted, because it seems that this verse is speaking that you have to become liberated, and then you will get association of your devotees. Whereas usually we are told otherwise, and we see it otherwise. So why is this description given in such an unusual way? So the commentary to this verse describes that this is actually a poetical ornament here. It is stated that if you want to stress that the effect takes place almost immediately, then you may invert and mention the effect before the cause. Yeah, it's like when there is a time for your hunger to cease, somebody will offer you a plate of prasad, you can say. So giving example of the same principle. So in the same way, Muchukunda is saying, when the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, or about to cease, he may attain the association of your devotees. Actually, he means that by association of your devotees, wandering souls, material life will cease very, very fast. And this is affirmed strongly by the word eva. Yeah. Indeed, certainly, only in that way that one can end the material existence, by the mercy of your devotees. And then, associating with your devotees, one will awaken true love and devotion unto Krishna. Yeah. So this is the point. And somebody might say that, is it not that the Lord's mercy comes first, and then by the Lord's mercy one gets the devotee's mercy? But then if we study carefully the subject matter, we actually come to the conclusion that the Lord dispenses his mercy, deputes the devotees to distribute his mercy. So it's the devotee's mercy that comes first before the Lord's mercy. Yeah, this is stated in many verses in the Bhagavatam, and we can discuss a little bit about this point. Even in this same verse, it is said that this material existence ceases, bhava-pavarga, and then by association of Lord's devotees, satsamagama or satsanga, same synonym. And then at that time one develops love for the Lord, who is sadgati, who is the destination of sats, and sat is a common word to describe a devotee, sat. But sadgati can also be explained in a different way. This is an epithet for the Lord. Sadgati may also mean one whose gati is sat, the Lord whose gati, whose shelter is his devotee, his own devotee. The Lord who takes shelter in his own devotee. So the Lord himself says so in few places in the Bhagavatam. Aham bhakta paradhina. Yeah, I'm totally subservient to my devotees. Like when Durvasa Muni was trying to save his life, that's what Narayana told him. Yeah, you don't ask me. I can't do anything in this situation. You go back and Askambarish Maharaj, because I'm totally sadhavo hridayam maham sadhunam hridayam tvaham. You know, the devotees are in my heart and I'm in the heart of the devotees, but ultimately I'm subservient to my devotees. So particularly in this matter, in this subject of how a conditioned soul become delivered, it is clear that the first installment of the mercy is done by a devotee. Yeah, and the devotees are so merciful. They are described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam how they cross the ocean of material life that shrinks for them to the size of a calf's hoof print, and then they, for those who are still on the other shore, they leave that boat of the Lord's lotus feet by which they crossed, they leave the means by which they crossed this ocean on that side. This is unusual, because usually when you take a boat and you cross a river, the boat goes with you, but in this case the boat remains inconceivably on the other shore. And the Lord says, this is a very, very, very beautiful verse also. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. So here the Lord is also addressed as Sad Anugraha, which can also be interpreted in two different ways. Sad Anugraha, one who is merciful to his devotees, but then also one whose anugraha is his devotees. They are the form of his mercy. They are themselves the form of the Lord's mercy. So so they come first. And another interesting incident is there in the first canto about Narada Muni, his previous life when he was born as a son of a maidservant. Actually, throughout that narration, it's very instructive narration that shows various stages in one's progress. If you study it carefully, you can see all the stages of progress in the life of Narada Muni. So what happened, as you might remember, his mother was engaged in menial service in an ashram where at one point came Bhaktivedanta's saintly devotees, and they stayed there during the 4 months. And Narada Muni, in their association, he progressed in devotional service and became self-realized, and he developed love of God in their association. So how this all started? It all started by their mercy. Yeah. Narada Muni is saying, although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled and I had no attachment for sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty and I did not speak more than required. So Narada Muni describes himself as being quite well-behaved boy. So is this, the question might be there, is this what caused the Bhaktivedantas to bestow their mercy upon him? No, this is not. It is described that their mercy was impartial and it was causeless. It wasn't inspired by Narada Muni's well-behaved nature and his good qualities, that he wasn't chapala as ordinary children. Yeah, they bestowed their mercy upon him just on their own accord, out of their own compassion. And that mercy, that first installment of their mercy, resulted in Narada Muni's developing true spiritual character. And then, with that character, Narada Muni inspired those Bhaktivedantas to bestow the second installment of mercy, which is that they instructed Narada Muni systematically in the knowledge of God. So, if you read Srila Prabhupada's commentary on that verse, Prabhupada is speaking the same thing. So the Vedanta Vadis initiated the boy even before he became self-controlled and was detached from childish sporting, etc. So they were merciful to Narada Muni even before he was well-behaved and developed other qualities. But before the initiation, he, the boy, became more and more advanced in discipline, which is very essential for one who wishes to make progress in the line. Yeah? So the fact that he developed all those good qualities was caused by their mercy, by the mercy of those Bhaktivedantas. So then the mercy of pure devotees of the Lord is such that it doesn't depend on different external qualities that one might have, what one might acquire as the result of one's karma. We see instances of that in the Shastra, how Narada Muni delivered the hunter, yeah, or Rishabhadev delivered King Rahugana, and Prahlad Maharaj instructed his playmates who were classmates who were children of demons. So externally seeing, you don't notice any kind of any qualification in those persons for them being delivered, but it's just by the Nirupadi Kripa, by the causeless mercy of Narada, Prahlada, or Rishabhadev that they were delivered. And this is the point. The mercy might be like that. It might be unconditioned, or it might be conditioned. And conditioned mercy, also called kindness, material kindness. So many people show in this world such kindness that is based upon some kind of a inspiration. If you see something worthy in a person, then you become kind to him. But if a person is a rascal, you don't want to do anything with him. So this is that kindness might be within the scope of the modes of nature, but the actual true transcendental mercy transcends that, and it is spread without any such prerequisite. So therefore, those who actually are the media, who are actually the channels for such transcendental mercy, they are very advanced devotees of Krishna, and they channel that mercy. But devotional service is self-manifest also, on the other hand. It's not caused by anything external. So even one may say that it's one may object that if you say that the devotion, bhakti, sprouts in the heart of a living being due to the mercy of a devotee, won't there be a contradiction to the fact that devotion is causeless? Because we see it's caused by the mercy. But the answer to that is that the mercy in itself is a display of devotion. The mercy in itself is an effect of devotion, the compassion, you know. Bhakti naturally gives birth to compassion in one who truly possesses bhakti. So in this way, devotional service is still, it is svaprakasha, it is self-manifest. It is self-manifest. And and pure devotees, they spread this devotional service in this way. And the Lord is subservient to their choice. And it's very difficult to conjecture, to predict, or to say upon whom the devotee will bestow his mercy. It is difficult to say, because it is achintya. There's another verse in the 10th canto describing the autumn in Vrindavan that actually explains this fact. During this season, the mountains sometimes release their pure water and sometimes did not. Just as experts in transcendental science sometimes give the nectar of transcendental knowledge and sometimes do not. So it's very difficult to understand how the devotees will spread their mercy and who will become the recipient. It's achintya. It's ultimately achintya. In case of Madhyama Adhikari, yeah, you can say Madhyama does distinguish, because by definition Madhyama has to distinguish. What's that? Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu dvishatsucha prema maitri kripo peksha yah karoti samadhyamaha. One who shows, gives love to Krishna, one who makes friendship with the Lord's devotees, one who gives mercy to the ignorant and foolish, and one who avoids the demoniac, who are intentionally opposed to God, he is called Madhyama. So Madhyama, in that way, Madhyama, when Madhyama preaches, you can somewhat predict where the mercy will go. Yeah? But then, in the case of an Uttama Adhikari, you can't say, because an Uttama Adhikari, for him there are no such prescriptions. Yeah? To whom to preach and to whom not to preach. So therefore, it becomes achintya, who will become the receptacle of their mercy. Mm. So, in any case, devotees are glorious, and therefore Krishna is so much indebted to them, because they do fulfill the purpose of the creation, because the creation is meant to rectify the mentality of the conditioned souls, and the devotees are those who actually do who do fulfill that mission in this world. Therefore Krishna is so kind, he's so grateful to devotees. And therefore, as it said, satam nimda namna paramama paradham vitanute. Therefore, it is the most grievous offense to the holy name to offend the devotees. Why? Because yatah kyatim yatam. Because the devotees, are those who glorify the Lord's name. So one who receives the name from the devotees and later on blasphemes the devotees, he is an offender. He is the supreme offender. Yeah, and this is the most grievous offense. Mm. It is said that the earth can bear any burden except for one burden, for the burden of an ingrate, a person who is not grateful for the favors that he has received. So this is the favor, the mercy of the devotee, the chance to perform devotional service is the what other favor, what other boon we can get. So therefore, those who have given to us this boon, they are to be thanked, you know, for eternity. They're never to be disregarded or offended. So, Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, have any comments.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
Towards the end, you mentioned about being grateful. I just want to share one Prabhupada joke. Either you're grateful or a great fool. So one must be grateful always, otherwise he'll be a great fool.
Great fool,
so,
yeah.
One comment I want to make, Prabhu. In the beginning, you were saying that one remaining debtful to spiritual master. So your comment was in story, Prabhupada said, always remain debtful,
yeah,
to indebted to the spiritual master. Another version of the story I heard is that one, of course, can never repay the spiritual master, but you can please try repaying by distributing Krishna consciousness. So that's our meditation, how we always distribute Krishna consciousness, we can repay somehow. And lastly, you mentioned that we cannot repay even our biological father. What you talk about spiritual masters or real father. So in this context, the famous verse from Bhagavatam, Devarshi Bhutat Naram, you know.
Yeah.
Just by becoming a devotee, we can repay all the debts.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada's best example is the debt consolidation. If you have too many debts, which we cannot pay, like most of people in America nowadays, so just one installment, by becoming a devotee of the Lord, we can repay all the debts. So, thank you.
Yeah, that's Sarvatmana Yasharanam Sharanyam. Yeah. Gato Mukundam Parikritya Kartam. So, yeah. One automatically repays one's debts, not just to one's parents, but to the demigods, to rishis, and to all the living entities by becoming fully surrendered to Mukunda. Yeah. At the same time, we shouldn't take it cheaply that, you know, you just kind of pose a devotee and then all your debts are, you know, paid off. One has to really be a devotee, one has to be a real devotee, really surrendered, then the debts are paid off. If we are not serious and if we do if we are not serious as devotees, then, you know, we have to pay debts, and for not paying debts there is karma. On the other hand, another angle on that is that it is said that we are no more debtors to those various living entities by becoming devotees. At the same time, once one becomes devotee, one becomes grateful. So it's not one way, one may still return, and one may still return something as gratitude. You know, not more as a duty, because a devotee is by nature grateful to everybody. Yeah, so we shouldn't become too much conceited, thinking that this verse fully applies to us, and then we are absolved of all debts, and now, yeah. So, Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, at the back. Yeah.
We hear the, like in wartime, the medics, they go to the battlefields and, you know, they try to save everyone, all the injured soldiers, but generally they put their time into saving those who have some chance of surviving. Those who are practically dead, they leave them to last. Yeah. Because generally it's very, very hard to save them. So we have the same principle in preaching. Generally, you know, we seem to preach to those who, you know, have some ability to understand the philosophy, some attractiveness to Christian consciousness, and those who seem to be too far gone, maybe we don't put very much energy into them. Yeah. But it seems like quite often even these souls who are seemingly, you know, so far gone or so far injured by material energy, quite often that, you know, they also become devotees, like those stories of Mugari the hunter and Jogai and Madai. You know, practically the most simple personalities in creation. And even in modern times, in our own ISKCON movement, see, you know, Srila Prabhupada started the movement by preaching to the most fallen, like the hippies, drug addicted, sex mongering hippies, and made many of them devotees. So it seems like that, although we may think, you know, well, it's no use preaching to these people who are, you know, too far gone, there is even a great chance that a lot of them also can become devotees because of the power of the process of Krishna consciousness, and the power, the mercy of the devotee and the association of great devotees like Narada Muni. Maybe you can make some comment.
Yeah, In modern age, there are some adjustments, seems like, to those statements in Shastra. Like Srila Prabhupada even said that preaching the glories of the name to the faceless, one unavoidably does that in modern days. Yeah, because how can we ascertain if a person has a faith and has qualification to hear of the glories of the holy name or not? Nevertheless, we have a higher order of Lord Chaitanya, Jara Dekho Tarakaha Krishna Upadesh, and on the strength of that higher order, we act, even though there is that ninth offense, for example, even though if it's there, we act on the higher order of the Lord, and that offense will not be counted, because that's the meaning of the higher order. Because Lord Chaitanya wants it to be done like that, Jarade Kotarekaha, whoever you see. So therefore, he is the Lord. He is no different from the name. So if the name himself tells us how to spread him, then that's the way to do. Yeah. Even though ordinarily, one should be discriminate. One shouldn't be. One shouldn't intentionally, speak the glories of the holy name. If one already sees that the person is offensive, one shouldn't intentionally continue speaking to him, because the more the person knows it will just increase his poison. It's like that. Another point, we have to be practical, like you explained how on the war field, those who have a chance of survival, they are treated first, because if you waste your time with one who is deadly injured, then you might lose also the one who is slightly injured, but by the time you come to that guy, he will also be on the deathbed. So it's there. That's the consideration of Madhyama. It's there. And we have to, because Madhyamadhikari doesn't have the power to change the consciousness of demons, whereas Uttama does have, and therefore, that injunction is not for an Uttamadhikari, but for a Madhyamadhikari. So, and we shouldn't, there's no fault there's no fault on the part of Madhyama in avoiding the envious, the demoniac, because it's beyond his capacity. So within our capacity, we try to do whatever we can. But what is beyond our capacity, then even the Shastra itself, educates us. Okay, you don't waste time with those. Go to the ignorant and foolish, but those who are not intentionally, avowed demons, like that. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You have explained that devotional service starts means given by God. Sometimes it starts from accidental, just like suppose car festival is going on, one devotee, he gave prasadam to non-devotee. So immediately the moment he got the prasadam, he honored and he paid obeisance. Nobody asked to go, and devotee is not asking that you should pay obeisance. Immediately he paid obeisance as soon as he got the prasadam. So moment he got the prasadam, so he don't know, he started the piety. So just like after that, if he'll come in contact with devotees, he'll be like a great devotee. Because just one wind blows after winter season and before summer seasons. That wind, whenever that will contact with neem tree, that neem will immediately it will be transferred to sandalwood. Like this way, so that person, he is not the body. But the moment he got the prasadam, he offered obeisances, and simultaneously, if he came in contact with the devotees, he will be devotees. So you were explaining that the responsibility is given by God. So accidentally it happens sometimes also.
Could you repeat the last sentence?
Last one.
Yeah.
The one.
Just the last sentence that you said.
Last sentence I told that one wind blows after some winter seasons and before some
decisions. What?
Winter season.
Oh,
and
okay.
Before summer seasons. Oh. That when it will contact with neem trees, immediately the neem will be converted to sandalwood. Like this, whenever the devotee, that non-devotee will get the association of devotee, he will be great devotee.
Yeah.
So my point was that you was talking that some devotional service is given by God, but it's happened sometimes, it means accidentally also.
Accidentally.
Because accidentally he don't know what is God or something is there. Some outsider, I'm talking about outside people. He's happening some programs or suppose he came and attended the car festival and one devotee gave the prasadams. So immediately
Prabhupada says in one purport, the theory of chance can be explained in this context of how one comes in the touch with pure devotee. That's okay, that we can say. Yeah, it's unpredictable, it's difficult, because bhakti can't be caused. If you can say that the person obtains devotional service by being pious, materially pious, you are wrong, because bhakti cannot be caused by anything material. So, the only thing that can bring one to bhakti is fortunate contact with a pure devotee. And this is actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We explain often the path from Shraddha to Prema. Yeah? We say first Shraddha is there, but then actually in the Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes there are two more things before Shraddha. The first thing is satam kripa, the mercy of devotee, first thing. Then mahat seva, service to devotees. And then third comes shraddha, and from there you start. So shraddha is not technically first in the... There are two things before. And this is what was illustrated in life of Narada Muni. First there was satam kripa. These Bhaktivedantas, they came to ashram and they just gave mercy to Narada Muni. And we read how they allowed him to eat their remnants. Yeah, they just gave him mercy. That installment of mercy generated into him good qualities of character, as what Narada Muni was describing here. He wasn't like other boys. You know, those qualities came to him as a consequence of the mercy of those souls. And then, having become such a well-natured boy, then they gave him second installment of their mercy. And then, you know, they allowed him to serve him, and then eventually they instructed him. Yeah, because in order to receive instructions, one has to be qualified. So that qualification has to come, but how does it come? Again, it's not a material qualification, it's also a spiritual qualification. Disciple is qualified in a spiritual way, not in a material way. So therefore, that qualification is also, is ultimately the effect of the first installment of the mercy, which is just indiscriminate. Yeah? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.